Our scripture text is taken from the first book of the Bible called Genesis, chapter 28, verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Let's set this scripture in its context, beginning our reading in verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So following the deceitful appropriation of Isaac's blessing, Jacob leaves his home and journeys to Haran at the instruction of his mother. Jacob camps, in parts unknown, perhaps wondering about his uncertain future. I always find it interesting when reading the context and seeing some of the illustrations of this, how we read in verse 11 that Jacob took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And in the illustrations, usually they have Jacob with his head rested on a rock, and that's probably not too accurate. The idea there is that he put the stone beside his head, that it might be set there as a testimony for the remembrance of the covenant of the Lord. Well, it's at times like these when the Lord shows up to keep his people going. God visits Jacob in a dream, affirming his loving care for him personally and for his sure covenant promises to him. Today, he does not reveal by dreams quite so often, certainly not in the same prophetic sense as then, but his word is ever sure. And Jesus, God the Son, says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And again, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, as we consider our text, Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. We recall Nathanael. Now, Nathanael was one of the 12, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And in his call, we find that he was meditating upon this passage. And when he was meditating upon this passage, Jesus revealed himself to Nathanael in a special sense. And so we pray that he will do likewise with us this morning. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And what do the Israelites do under the fig tree? Well, they prayed and they meditated in its shade, generally upon a certain Bible scripture. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe that you will see greater things than these?" And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So in our sermon proper this morning, we shall consider 3 points. First, Jacob's ladder. Second, the ministry of angels. And third, he who is in heaven. First, consider the ladder. You may also see a staircase, if you like. The Hebrew language allows for that translation. Notwithstanding, one may go up or down on it. Spiritually speaking, to climb the ladder is to draw near to God. And we do well to say with Asaph that it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. As we climb up the bottom rungs of the ladder, gaining confidence, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us climb now a little higher, above the clouds. Fear not, for he who created the ladder is able to safely secure it. Now, at one point when I went to paint the back of my house, if you've ever been to my house, you see that you drive uphill up the driveway, and then the second and third story of the house is way up higher than that. So if you're going to put a ladder there, you've got to put it kind of going up the hill at a little bit of an angle if you want to go and paint something. So you have to have a person spotting you at the bottom. And what we do is we use a vehicle to chalk the other end of the ladder. I'm not crazy enough to go back up there to do any more painting. But if you know anyone else crazy enough, send them my way. But the point here is, when I did that and I climb up to the top of the ladder, I'd have to have a lot of trust that the car was parked properly and that the individual at the bottom of the ladder was going to hold on to it, to secure it, and to do everything possible to make sure that that thing doesn't move. Now imagine climbing a ladder that goes up into heaven. And I don't see that the angels were all that worried about it. They were just going up and down, back up, back down, no problem. Because they know that he who secured the ladder is totally faithful to hold that thing there, and that nothing was going to happen to it. He wasn't worried about my friend. He wasn't trusting Nelly to hold that thing up. That was Jesus Christ who had that ladder, who was going to make sure that that thing wasn't going to move. And so, we can hear Jesus' voice from up here as we climb a little higher. You can look down if you like. The Lord is not going to suffer us to let go and to miss a rung, to slip. But as we get near the top of that ladder, as we get near to heaven, we hear that voice, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." But beware. Though the Lord will not suffer you to fall, having climbed to the top of Jacob's ladder in our mind's eye this morning, he will let you walk down the ladder. Every sinful thought, intent, and action will hasten you down. Why do you want to be down there when you have been up here? And yet, such is the plight of sinful man, ascending and descending. And so let us resolve to spend more time at the top of the ladder than at the bottom. Our second point this morning concerns the ministry of angels. These celestial beings are very busy. Jacob was probably getting dizzy in his sleep, watching the angels go up and down and up and down again. What were they about? And for what purpose? Or for whom were they descending to the earth? God knows. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? There is so much work to do here on earth. And so God employs not only men, but angels to accomplish the tasks. An angel's work is never done until the eternal state arrives. And then all there will be left to do is praise the Lord. And so they will praise the Lord from the heavens. They will praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Our brother, our dear friend, Gerard, some of you know him. And if you don't know him now, you will know him one day in heaven. And at work, he would quote the fitness mantra, "I pick things up, I put them down," as he went about his warehouse work. And now he rests. But the angels have not entered into that rest. And so the holy angels of God ascend and descend. I go back up, I come back down. Friends, the ministry of God's holy angels is purposeful and encouraging and beneficial all of the days of this life. When we are so oppressed by fallen angels, the unseen ministers of God are made available to lift up our heads. It happens as it was written of the captain of our salvation. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And friends, I wonder as we consider Jacob's ladder and our life journeys from places near the top to places near the lower rung, that God has sent angels to ascend and descend with us, to minister to us in good times and in ill. Our final point is concerning higher things. Yea, even the highest thing, he who is in heaven. Our text reads that its top reached to heaven. Now the dream, the ladder, and the angels are quite fascinating. But the greatest thing is not the dream, it's not the ladder, it's not the angels, it's none of these. The professional mountain climber has one goal: to reach the top. And to make it to the top is exhilarating. It is everything. And he will testify that everything is better up here. And if we could hear the voices of those who have gone before us to their heavenly inheritance and heavenly rest, they would shout out from the celestial city that everything is better up here. And so the spiritually minded mountain climber says with Paul, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." I like that. He's laid hold of me. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, to have climbed that ladder and to have stepped out into the third heaven as of yet. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So if God has granted you access to that ladder through the blood of the everlasting covenant, if entrance to that ladder has been granted by your Savior, who has died and bled and risen again for you, and you are walking up and down, ascending and descending upon it, then even now, you are a child of God. And one day, when we get to the top and we poke our head above the horizon, one day we shall see God face to face. Having made such an approach as we have this morning, what appeal does sin have for the Christian climber now? Has it been put in perspective? And so rather let us stay at the top rung of the ladder, as high up as we can go, in the bold approach of prayer. Let the angels even ascend and descend. Let them go around us. For we do well to remain at the top rung in prayer, focusing our energy and our eyes upon one person and one alone, the author, finisher, and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Christ Jesus. Now the reality, my friends, is this. Having gone up so high in this sermon, even as in a dream, we must now come back down to earth like Jacob. And so we can begin with praise of God's awesome glory, and then, like Jacob, we shall awake at first morning light and set off for Haran, for an uncertain future, an uncertain tomorrow, yea, even an uncertain today. For you know us not what a day may bring forth, but you have climbed the ladder, and you know God reigns, perhaps from the top rung this morning. You even got a peek, a glimpse of what is there. And so wherever your heart, mind, or feet are going, friend, be certain that God is already there in that place. And that as you go, and when you get there, know that in the spirit, you might see him just as clearly as you did when you stood on that top rung this morning. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glimpse of heaven that we find here in the scriptures, in the narrative of Jacob's ladder. Lord, that we might see ourselves in our own lives, and that we might see in this the security of the covenant, the new covenant and our Savior's blood, even unto the salvation of our souls, that we might see in it your keeping power, that we might see in it a reminder that spiritually our lives are an upward climb, beginning with taking that first step up the ladder of faith. Though we may even fear heights greatly, that you will never let us fall. Thank you, Lord, for granting us an opportunity to read, consider, and see in our mind's eye the greatest thing, that you, Lord, are at the top, that you've given us a future, a hope, and a dwelling place, and a perfect assurance of things to come. May we take these things from this place as we go about our business in the coming hours, days, and week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.